Chapter 22. Where the Hammer Fell. Death must occur so that life may prevail. Literal translation of the ciphered rune of the Cabal. He came back to the place where the sky had dropped him. Dawn had stolen in, grey and damp. Magna Macrag Civitas seemed wounded and tense, its golden luster dimmed. Beyond the shimmer of the city shields, the coastal wind brought the grumble of thunder, and an oceanic storm threatening to blow inland and break against the sheer wall of the Hera's Crown Mountains, thus shedding its rain upon the old city. Vulcan came back to where the sky had dropped him, his mind dislocated and hurt, his garb a bloodied mismatch of purloined plate and subsuit. His hands shook. He recoiled from shadows. His eyes smouldered. Sometimes he chattered nonsense words at the sky or the earth. The earth had once been his friend. The heat of that friendship was long gone. Vulcan's mind simmered with a fire of its own. It was hotter than any fire of the earth rock, hotter than any magma, hotter than any core. Sometimes he fell to his knees and moaned or sobbed and touched his hands to the ground and then to his face, marking his ebon skin with dust as grey as ash. Kurz had tested him by exploring the limits of his unusual life beyond its breaking point. Kurz had to pay for that. Vulcan was subliminally drawn to the object that would be pure enough to deliver his vengeance. John glanced at Damon and nodded. They hurried across the empty street, the mumble of distant thunder in the air, and clambered their way into the burned-out ruin of a building. The air smelled of soot and charred paper, and also of chemical fire retardant. John could feel the heavy rain sizzling off the city shields high overhead. He wished that the shields were down so that the rain could purge the site and wash the city clean. Magna Macrag Civitas was a city at war, however, and its armour was permanently buckled tight. Damon Prytanis drew his pair of sling pistols. It was a deft, off-practice gesture. Slip-slip from under his fur coat. He checked their loads. John knelt and opened his carry bag.
"You think he's here?" Damon asked.
John nodded, unwrapping the parcel he had pulled from the bag.
"Hunch or clear read?" asked Damon. "It makes a difference."
"Clear read," John replied. "This is where he landed." Damon looked at a brick arch above the entrance to the building's quadrangle.
"The Antimon Machine Works," he read. "It's seen better days."
"He hit it like a meteor," John replied. "Set the place alight. It was a good thing the building was derelict." John rose. The fulgurite spear, unwrapped, lay in his hands.
"Is that it?" asked Damon Prytanis.
"Yes."
"Not much to look at, is it?"
"The most potent things often aren't," John replied.
"'S why the ladies love me, Johnny," Damon smiled.
He waited.
"Nothing? Not even a courtesy laugh?"
"Let's get on," said John Grammaticus. "I'm not getting any younger." Damon regarded him quizzically.
"I thought we had to wait for, the other Primarch," he said. "It's got to be another Primarch who does it, right? Isn't that what they had foreseen?"
"Yes."
"So we need the other Primarch?"
"No," said John.
"No?"
"I've thought about this," John said. "A Primarch would be ideal, but I don't think it's essential. We can do it. Either of us. You or me."
"No, that's not what they told you," Damon began uneasily.
"Maybe. But we're on the ground, and we're making the choices now," John replied. "Kurz is too dangerous. He's too much of a liability. We can't control him. We can't even predict what he'll do. In fact, that's the point. Kurz is psych invisible most of the time, so they can't have foreseen him in this situation. If the Cabal had known Kurz was the only option, they wouldn't have gone for it."
He looked at Damon.
If we're going to do this and do it right, it has to be us. It has to be me.
Daemon Prytanis gave him a long, probing look.
You're not trying to pull some crazy shit on me, are you, Johnny?
No.
Johnny?
John Grammaticus turned to look at him.
For terror's sake, Prytanis, we're about to do something that'll change the course of galactic history. We're about to betray our kind. Again. I just told you I'm prepared to do that. So give me a break, okay?
John had the spear in his right hand. He held out his left.
Can you spare one? He asked.
Daemon looked down at the twin sling pistols he was wielding and realized what John meant.
Nice try, he replied with a dark chuckle.
He's not likely to come quietly, John said. All I have is the spear. We may need to put him down first so I can use it.
Well, let's see how we go. I've got your back.
You're not making this any easier, said John. He's a Primarch. Daemon sighed, briefly holstered one of the Murek, drew his short patterned chainsword from under his fur coat, and tossed it to John. John caught it.
Look after it, Daemon said, drawing his other sling gun again. Look after it, and it'll look after you. That baby will cut through anything, even a Primarch.
They entered the machine works. The inner quadrangle was a rockrete yard, layered with dust, grit, and shards of ceramic and glass. Each side of the quad was formed by a massive fabricatory shed with a pillared walkway around the perimeter. The western end of the layout was flattened and smashed, as though a missile had torn through it and delivered a thermic warhead. Daemon and John crunched forward, a shabby rogue in a coat of black fur, and a tall man in the dark garb of a repatriation officer, Funeral Watch Division. How appropriate, John thought.
Got a fix on him,
Daemon hissed, prowling along the northern side of the quad, his guns ready. For the first time, he really looked like a soldier to John. In a million years, John could not have imitated that skill, that readiness, that capacity. John focused.
He's all around us, John thought. Vulcan is here, and he's everywhere. His mind is so raging, so powerful. I need...
Johnny, give me a second, John replied.
I can taste the hurt. He's so wounded. I recognize that. I recognize that. What is it? What is it? He's feeling something I feel.
Vulcan came out of the shadows. He was right on them.
Shit, said Daemon Prytanis.
Vulcan was an immense shape, eyes blazing. He looked like a massive stone statue brought to life, for he was covered in dust and dirt. He had spent the last 15 minutes digging in the pit of the crash site. He had a hammer in his hands. It was his hammer. Dawnbringer. The one he had fallen with. The one that had brought him to McCrag. It had been buried much deeper than the level of his body had been recovered from. Howling, the maddened Primarch flew at them.
Shit!
Daemon cried again, backing up fast. Vulcan swung the hammer at them. It came crosswise at human head height, whistling through the air. Daemon ducked. John threw himself to the right. Both perpetuals cheated death by a hair's breadth. The hammer swing sliced the empty air and demolished one of the quad's pillars. Daemon had ducked so frantically that he fell. Vulcan loomed over him. Daemon rolled, barely in time to avoid the next swing, which smashed the paving stones where he had been sprawled a moment earlier. Daemon kept rolling, turning fast, a combat move. He tumbled out of Vulcan's immediate kill radius and then rocked up on one knee, firing.
Son of a bitch! He exclaimed, letting rip with both of the Murek.
Vulcan, four times his size, plated and raging mad, charged at him with Dawnbringer raised. Daemon Prytanis expended both of his plastic crystal ammo cores in less than 4 seconds. Vulcan was a big target, and Daemon shot thousands of razor rounds through his bulk. He shredded him. The pavement behind Vulcan for a distance of some 8 or 10 meters became a huge splatter pattern of blood and ruined tissue, where separate through wounds and impacts had gouted.
Vulcan dropped to his knees a few feet short of Damon, blood venting and squirting from hundreds of wounds. Then he vanished, leaving nothing but the vast, pooling spatter of blood behind. Damon got up. "What the hell?" he muttered. Nearby, John was getting back on his feet.
"That hammer of his," John said, "it has a teleport function."
"Oh, goody," Damon replied. He ejected the smoking stubs of his spent cores and loaded new ones. Then he began to circle, both sling guns out in front of him, straight-armed. "You feel him?" he asked.
"No," said John.
"Tell me when you feel him."
"Obviously."
A long second passed. Damon looked around. "What's taking so long?" he asked. "Some sort of teleport lag?"
"Behind you!"
John yelled. Damon turned in time to see Vulcan appear behind him in a swirl of charged dust. He was no longer a dirt-grey statue. He was a revenant thing, painted head to foot in his own blood. Damon narrowed his eyes and opened fire again. "Yeah, you great big bastard," Damon said, his pistols whiffing and wailing. "Teleport all you like. You mess with me. End of." A second relentless hurricane of razor fire ripped through the Primarch. John could feel the air dampening with blood mist. Vulcan staggered into the lethal streams of gunfire, but only made a step or two. He fell, first to his knees, then face down. His body and skull were deformed and misshapen from the sheer structural damage wrought by the Murek overkill. Vulcan tried to rise. He was shuddering and weeping blood like a fountain. He got halfway to his knees, using his hammer as a crutch. "Oh, just give it up," Damon said. He stepped forward, put both Guhru and Mechmenite to Vulcan's forehead, and blew the back of the Primarch's skull out. Vulcan dropped dead. Damon looked around at John. Damon's face was dappled with spots of Vulcan's blood. He began to reload again. His hands were shaking. "I don't know how many times I can kill him," Damon said desperately. "Will you please do it fast?" John approached the fallen Primarch, raising the spear. The copper stench of blood was overwhelming. Vulcan came back from the dead once again. It was happening faster. It was happening faster and faster each time. New life followed each death at an increasingly fearsome rate. Vulcan's rage was such that he would not let death keep him for even a second. He lurched at them with a roar of unimaginable pain, his ruined head still reforming and becoming whole again. Muscle, tissue, flesh and bone knitted and reconstituted in front of their eyes. Damon let out a snarl of dismay. He hadn't even had time to finish his reload. Vulcan grabbed Damon by the throat and threw him across the quad. The Perpetual landed badly. John heard a bone break. Vulcan turned to face John.
"I can help you," John said. "Please, I understand your pain. I recognize it. The pain of life and death, of life and death after life and death. I understand. Please, let me help you."
Vulcan took a step forward, glaring down at John Grammaticus. He was breathing hard, wheezing through shredded lungs that were still regrowing. Blood leaked out of him through multiple puncture wounds that were still closing.
"I understand," John repeated, trying to sound reassuring.
"I understand," he sent simultaneously. Vulcan wavered slightly.
"I understand. Dying is hard," said John. "Dying hurts. Believe me, I have been there. Please, Lord Vulcan, let me help you. Let me spare you. Let me cure you."
Vulcan paused. He was still dripping blood and his ramshackle armor was peppered with razor slits. Slowly, hesitantly, he held his hand out towards John Grammaticus. Then Vulcan's head vanished in a mist of blood and brain tissue. The shot echoed around the quad long after Vulcan's virtually headless body had fallen. Painted with gore, John staggered back. Narek of the Word walked into the quad, lowering his Brontus pattern sniper rifle. He stood over Vulcan's body and put two more rounds through the torso at close range.
"He's dead," said Narek.
"Not for long," John replied.
"Long enough. Use the spear. Do the deed. Then you're coming with me."
John was suddenly very quiet. The temperature in the quad dropped by 10 degrees. "He's here," John gasped.
"Who? Who's here?"
Narek asked. An unnecessarily tall shadow leapt from the quad roof and landed between them. Slowly, it straightened up.
"I dreamed of you,"
it hissed to John Grammaticus.
"Suddenly I saw you in my waking dreams. You have something I need. Give me the spear."
John shook his head. "Never." Narek growled and raised his rifle to fire at Kurz, but the Primarch punched him aside without looking. Blood flew into the air from the impact. Narek landed several meters away.
"Give me the spear," Kurz repeated.
"Never," said John Grammaticus. Conrad Kurz smiled.
"No one ever, ever refuses me," he hissed.
"Yeah?" said Damon Prytanis from a few meters away. "Welcome to a whole new painful world."
He opened fire on Conrad Kurz with both sling guns.